This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond simply talking about Christianity to be more like Christ. Now, doing so is not something we're just meant to do alone. We who believe in Christ are called to follow Him together. That's what the early disciples did. And sometimes the together can be, in our modern era, with so many people populating the world, it can be a big gathering. Or it might be a small one-on-one or a group in your home. It might be your church, whatever the size. We're talking today about resetting our lives that we might come together for God's glory. And we have with us the founder of the Reset Movement, Nick Hall. And we're going to talk about his life journey, this awesome story of how it is that around the vision God's given him and his team, that there will be up to 1 million people on the Mall of Washington, D.C. in the middle of July, 7/16/16. And you might even find yourself there just because you're listening to this broadcast. Nick Hall, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, so glad to be here.
Yeah, so Nick, let's go back a little bit. I want people to get to know you and the passions of your heart. In the early years of your life, did you have this sense of just loving God with all your heart, or where'd you come from?
Yeah, I'm from North Dakota, you know, which I know is a common vacation spot for many people. These are the jokes. But from a young age, you know, my faith was very real to me. My mom, you know, led me to the Lord when I was a little kid, just had really innocent questions and trying to, you know, figure out what life was all about. I prayed and I received Jesus. And literally from that moment on, I knew that I wanted to tell others about Him. And so I was starting to share my faith. I started to tell other people about Jesus. And really, I've just been trying to do that ever since.
So, reading your book, Reset, and listeners, I recommend you get this book, Reset. We'll talk more about it at the end of the program, but you described how in college your life got reset and you started challenging other college students to the same. Can you give us a little bit of that story?
Yeah, so, I mean, we were, you know, students watching kind of our generation turn its back on God and many giving up on life. I mean, there was substance abuse, suicide, just all kinds of issues. And so we were just really praying for our generation, for our campus. And I think there was just an inconsistency we were seeing in our own lives. You know, we would talk about and sing about how great God was, but then we would go and live these kind of embarrassed lives, you know, as if God didn't matter to anything. So we started to pray that He would change us, that there was sin and things in our lives. And we just prayed that there'd be a movement that would start. And we had so many people turning to Jesus that literally, like, we needed to come up with some new language almost to describe it for these young people that were just turning left and right. Because we'd say, man, you need to come and be a disciple or come and meet a counselor. And, you know, for a generation that didn't grow up in the church, these are terms that made no sense to them. So we found ourselves having to take more time to explain our vocabulary than we were able to talk to him about Jesus. And so a student actually said, you know, what we're praying for is a reset. And we said, okay. And so we looked it up, and reset literally means to clear past errors, to get the system working toward its created or intended purpose. We just found it as a beautiful description of the gospel and just a term that makes sense to a generation of saying, man, what is it in your life that needs to be reset? What is it that's in between you and your relationship with God? Because we believe Jesus is offering a reset, and we believe that now is the time.
And you found yourself part of a movement, students just being greatly impacted, soon speaking to even large groups, thousands in stadiums and so forth. What, Nick, what did you find as maybe some of the driving issues, things students were and still are dealing with most today?
You know, I think we've often said that you could have 1 million people and you'd have 1 million different reset prayers, you know, because God, He wants to meet each one of us where we are, and He wants to meet us at the point of our need. You know, we started sharing this message and we had 8,000 students, you know, come out on our campus and 1,000 come to faith. And then we had 50,000 students across our state, 10,000 coming to faith. And then it spread and we have millions of students, you know, filling up arenas and venues all over the nation, and literally hundreds of thousands of young people turning to Jesus, praying for a reset. And so what ended up happening was it was almost a response. You know, we had so many of these reset prayers coming in that we were trying to, you know, encourage and counsel and disciple and get people into God's word. And I think what we found is that there were 8 common themes of these reset prayers. And so the book is really tackling those 8 themes. These were kind of things that people were praying. So reset my purity, for instance, that would have to do with a lot of reset prayers of, you know, sexuality, of, you know, past regret, of decisions I've made that have made me feel jaded or used or abused. You know, there's a reset my relationships. I mean, and that's kind of redeeming, I would say, like the bad friendships we have, the bad relationships we end in, the destructive relationships we end up in. And again, it's a reset from brokenness and a reset to wholeness, the way that God intended it to be. And so again, we're looking then at scripture. There's a reset my self-image, which is huge for a generation, you know, a generation that's depressed and self-harm has become an epidemic, and suicide is, you know, it's the third leading cause of death in those, you know, that are teenagers up to 25, which is just, it's a tragedy to think that the third leading cause of death in a generation would be a choice to end their life. So for us, it's like, man, these are things that are going on in the hearts of a generation. But again, it all boils down to the individual person. We say, man, what is it in your life? Each of us has something. And I tell people, especially those of us that have faith, you know, reset my faith is probably the biggest one, you know, because so many of us, if we've been believers, and it's almost like the longer we've been going through it, the easier it is to become jaded, to become complacent, to lose our first love. And again, to come back to that vibrancy, to come back to that relationship. It's been incredible. I mean, we really believe Jesus is offering this, and we believe that Jesus changes everything, and it's all about him.
Well, I love the idea of reset. And as you're finding yourself talking to these large groups, it reminds me a little of Billy Graham, who in his early days needed help with follow-up and connecting with people. So you've got a book out. You've got the concept that really fits with our media-driven generation and the millennials. Get a reset. I love that. Are there ways that Billy Graham has influenced you personally?
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know, Dr. Graham, their team. So I traveled with the Graham team for 10 years. You know, I've studied under them. I would consider him one of my, you know, kind of spiritual mentors. Mm. You know, you mentioned Billy Graham in the early days. I mean, they had so many people come into faith that they were counseling all of them, you know. And so this are kind of the stories in the early days where Billy and Cliff Barrows and George Beverly Shea, they would literally be there till late in the night until Dawson Trotman, you know, who was a friend of theirs who started the Navigators, came to them and said, you know, you guys need some help. And so he loaned them one of his key team members, a guy named Charlie Riggs. And Charlie Riggs wrote the follow-up curriculum for the Billy Graham team, kind of inspired by, you know, the work of the Navigators. And so again, in our day, you know, it's looking at those same relationships. So we've taken models that the Billy Graham team has used, and we've adapted them and contextualized them to this generation. And again, we would just say that, you know, Billy Graham grabs stuff from Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday grabs stuff from D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody grabs stuff from, you know, the Wesleys, and grabs stuff from Whitfield, right? And so it's like each generation has voices that rise up. And so in the early days of Youth for Christ, they used to say, we're changing with the times, but we're anchored to the rock. And I think that's the same today. It's like the messaging stays the same, but the packaging always changes. And so for us, it's, man, we're giving people the chance to respond by text message. You know, we're encouraging them on their social media feeds. We're wanting to get them connected into digital communities. Again, we're wanting to meet them where they are and then get them connected to a community of people, you know, at coffee shops and in churches and in communities. But it all begins just with each individual encountering the hope of Jesus and then having a chance to get connected.
It's interesting as you go back, mentioning leading figures, Billy Sunday, going back all the way to John Wesley, how culture has changed through all the time. The gospel has not changed one lick. And as culture has changed, I'm sure you deal with, we all deal with this struggle, that there are so many in the millennial generation who really don't want to go to church, but they do want God. How do you deal with that?
You know, I mean, people will say this is the most unchurched generation in American history, you know, and I think actually the stats back that up. I mean, it's a generation that's not into gathering. But again, like I look at this and I want to see this and paint a picture that's actually quite optimistic. Okay, so for a generation, there has been peer pressure, right? So I think of my parents or grandparents. I grew up with a certain peer pressure that you go to church because that's what people do. Mm. And you go to church because that's the right thing to do. And so you have a whole bunch of people that went to church, but it really didn't mean anything. You know, and so it's like, how do you convince somebody who's going through the motions that they don't really have a relationship with Christ? You know, and so and I think we just see that in a generation, you know, and so for today's generation, there is zero peer pressure to go to church. You know, there is zero, you know, influence to say you should conform and just be one of these cultural Christians. You know, I mean, the kids that are going, they're going out of intentionality and they're going with the desire to see change. And these kids, even though they're unchurched, this is one of the most spiritually inclined generations that our nation's ever seen. And so I look at it, I say, man, so you're telling me that a generation is turning its back on the establishment, but they're interested in the spiritual power of Jesus? Like, to me, that sounds like the early church. Like, that sounds like the groundwork. That sounds like the foundation for a move of God. So rather than seeing this as, oh, man, we're doomed, it's hell in a handbasket, I look at this and say, man, this is the beginnings of a revival generation. Like, this is a generation that will give their lives for the gospel. They're looking for a cause. They're looking for something radical. There is no more radical or compelling cause or figure in human history than Jesus. And so we want to give them Jesus. And we want to invite them to repaint Christianity for a new generation. And, you know, and they are the church. They're going to be the church of the future. And so we're going to encourage them to go back into churches, to take new places of influence, but also to start new churches. We just need people following Jesus and diving into God's word today.
Christ talked about the different wineskins with new wine, meaning often the structure of the church may look different. It still may be in God's sight church. When people are gathering in a Mall of Washington or when they're gathering in homes, it may not be the big edifice with brick and mortar. So some may look at what's happening and saying, okay, so people are tweeting in little prayers, I've reset, you know, they're doing social media, but are lives being changed? Maybe give us an example or two of people whose lives have been touched, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, there's literally thousands. And the interesting thing is this gathering in Washington, some of the leaders of this gathering are people whose lives have been changed in the last couple of years. You know, I think of a guy that's been a young friend of mine now. His name's Yasser. He is from El Salvador, grew up around gang violence, moved to the Washington, D.C. area in Hagerstown, Maryland, and was literally like just, you know, drinking and partying and girls and everything you can think of. And kind of just had a positive community start to come into his life when he was really broken, came to one of our events, was brought by friends. He really turned his life over to Jesus, started praying for a reset, and God has just turned this kid's life around. Like, he's traveled with us, like I've personally like discipled and encouraged him, and then now he's literally like a fiery evangelist. I mean, this kid is going around preaching in schools. He was at West Point this spring. He did a 40-city tour with the National Day of Prayer. I mean, this is a kid who 2 years ago people would have read off and said, oh, man, he's going to go down the track of whatever, violence or, you know, whatever you want to think of. But God is changing his life, and he's being used now to change a generation. You know, a lot of stories have happened with people who are, you know, depressed or, you know, thinking about suicide. And one story I talk about in the book, in Reset, is the story of a girl named Michelle. You know, so Michelle was this girl, and again, I saw her, and she really is, I mean, I would say she has been used as a catalyst of God to offer freedom, not just to her generation, but to the nation. And so this girl came up to me at an event and was like, I hate God, I hate religion, I hate Christians, I didn't want to come tonight, you know, so everything negative, I'm like, this is not going well. But she said, something happened tonight. I started to hear a voice that said, Michelle, I love you. And she said, Nick, I've never thought that if there is a God, that he would never love somebody like me because no one has ever loved me before. But she's like, as you were speaking, I kept hearing this voice, Michelle, I love you, Michelle, I love you, Michelle, I love you. And she said, Nick, I think that was God. And I said, I think it was God too. And she said, Nick, when you invited us to cry out to God and pray for a reset in our lives, I stood up with the people in the arena giving their lives to Christ because I want Jesus. Mm-hmm. And she threw her fist out at me. And I thought, at first I thought she was going to punch me. So I kind of ducked, you know, because I'm just a, I'm a little guy, you know, and we gotta guard ourselves. But man, she had her fist trembling. I could tell something was in her fist. And she said, Nick, I've wore this necklace every day for 5 years. Every day I put it around my neck and it reminds me that I'm worthless. She opened up her fist and it was a razor blade on a chain. And literally, so she'd put this razor blade on and then she'd pull it off during the day and use it to cut herself.
Oh.
And so, and she's saying, Nick, I don't want to wear this anymore. I don't want to see myself the way the world sees me 1 minute longer. I want to start seeing myself the way God sees me. Will you take this? You know, and so it was one of these like larger than life, powerful God moments where literally something that is in the dark is being brought into the light. And I tell you, what happened, you know, obviously we're there crying and her friends are all there and we're praying and we were able to stay in dialogue with her and get her connected to some, you know, some professional help, some Christian help, like just because, again, this isn't just like a magic wand. But I think what happened was that as she was willing to share her story, it opened it up for an entire generation to share their story. And so as I shared Michelle's story, people came through the woodwork with kids are coming with razor blades and bullets and pill bottles and condoms and hateful notes and all kinds of things. We started actually, we had so many people bringing stuff that we had to set out what we called reset bins just to fit all the contraband. Because God, again, his light was breaking into these areas of darkness. The Holy Spirit was moving. And it's like, man, God was beginning to heal a generation, and it's still happening.
Wow, it sounds like a very powerful move of God. And often we find in history, the move of God is sustained and even started through prayer. Has prayer been a part of all this?
You know, we tell people, man, prayer is the backbone of every move of God. And man, I from the very beginning, we used to say we are prayerful or we're prideful. And I just believe that. You show me the prayer movement, I will show you the God movement. But when the prayer movement dries up, the God movement dries up. Because I really think that it's so easy for us to put our hope in our plans, in our systems, in our structures, right? And so it's like we try to replicate the success of what we think the event is. But what we don't realize is that the success happened on with a bunch of people on their knees. You know, that's where the victory is won. And so, man, we fasted. We've prayed. This is, you know, this is 24/7 prayer. This is intercessors all over the nation. In fact, you know, I have friends within the prayer movement that say there's more prayer happening now in America than has happened ever in our nation's history. And so again, you can look with your physical eyes and see division and all this junk, or you can open your eyes and say, man, God is using the current climate to call our nation back to its knees. And I just believe with everything in me that he's doing it because he's preparing to pour out his Spirit again. And he's going to call us back as a nation. And I'm believing God for a third great awakening.
So I praise God for your passion. And I agree, there is more prayer happening now than probably any time. Maybe outside going back to some of the great awakenings through the land, and may it be another one. But I think revival, as I study, it's often, if not always, come through those who are younger, through youth. Do you agree with that? And what do you see happening on the Mall of Washington?
Yeah, I really do. I think every revival has had young people involved and at the forefront. Now I always like to nuance that because there's always young people involved, but behind the young people are a generation of older people who are empowering those young people, right? So there's never, God never works in a vacuum, right? He's never like, I'm going to use this generation, but I'm not going to use that generation. Like I think God is very much a fan of multi-generational partnership, right?
Yes.
And so but that being said, God loves to use unlikely things. He loves to use people that he knows that are seen weak by the world so that he can show himself strong. And so when you see a teenager on fire for God and leading a movement, like the only one that gets the credit is God. You know, no one says it's because of their seminary degree or because of all of their sweet connections. You know, people say, man, that's little Jimmy who was mooning me last year on the way to school. and now he's leading this movement. This must be God. You know, and I really do think that that's the way that God works. And he uses all of us, but he loves to use, you know, younger people in the midst of this. July 16th, we're just believing God that it's going to be a generation-defining moment. We're believing that we're going to come as a nation and pray for a reset. We're believing that God's going to do something that's going to shift our nation. And we really believe that it's going to be a commissioning moment for these young leaders. And I think they're already gathering. I think the movement has already begun. I don't think that July 16th is about starting a wave. I think it's about the waves crashing on one place on one day, you know, to prepare the way for what God wants to do. And I think there's going to be an unleashing from that day of a generation going into every corner of culture, into every sphere of influence with the light of Christ and feeling empowered from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit, and empowered from an older generation saying, go, we believe in you. The time is now. Let's do this.
Hmm. Powerful. So we will be praying. And many people listening may think about getting up there. Tell people why they need to get to the mall on the 16th of July this year.
You know, we really believe moments of historic change are marked by historic gatherings. And I'll just frankly just tell people, man, this might not have been in your plan, but I believe this is in God's plan for our nation and for this time. And so, like, if somebody asked you, you know, if you wanted to go to the Super Bowl, or somebody asked if you wanted to go to whatever, there's events that you're like, I need to be there. And I don't know what that event is for you, but I'm just saying, if you're a person of faith, like, you don't want to read about July 16th. You want to be there on the ground to experience what I believe is going to be a historic moment. This isn't an annual event. This isn't a, I'll check it out next year. No, something like this hasn't happened in over 30 years, and this might be the only gathering of its kind in our generation. And so, man, there's an urgency. The time is now. We're not gathering for an event. We're not gathering for some hype. We're not gathering for some emotion. We're gathering because we need Jesus, and the time is now.
And Nick, how does your book, Reset, fit into the whole thing?
You know, the book is really just, it's the story behind the movement. It's the message behind the movement. I mean, the gathering isn't to promote a book. The gathering isn't about the book. The gathering is about Jesus. It's about revival. Man, if the book can be a resource to people, you know, to encourage people. I mean, but at the end of the day, July 16th isn't about any brand, any logo, any name other than the name of Jesus. And so we're coming together and praying. But, you know, if people are looking for a tool, if they're looking for a story, and again, this is a story of, I'm a kid from North Dakota. Right? This should be a story in my mind. Like, don't hear this and say, wow, this guy sounds impressive. No, I hope people hear this and say, wow, he sounds really normal, you know, and I look really normal too, right? And I'm from North Dakota, right? So, like, I just think of it as God can use anyone from anywhere to do anything because he's God. And so if you want a dream of what God can do through your life and through your generation, then I think this book would be encouraging. If you're looking for a reset, or you're praying for your teenager or college student or whatever, man, I just really think this is a tool. And obviously, I believe in it. And the stories in it are just stories of God moving. And so that's what the book's about. But man, again, we're praying for revival. And we want people to come on July 16th to be there. Because again, God calls us in his word. There's something about gathering. Throughout history, throughout scripture, in the Old Testament, time and again, God would call his people to come and gather before the temple. And it says many times the whole nation would gather. And this wasn't just like these people. This was literally kids and grandparents. They're gathering and asking for an encounter with God. That's what we're praying for on July 16th. We want to meet with God.
Nick, as I think of the concept of reset, I mean, I reset my computer just recently. Everything got back to the way it came out of the shop, you know, and if we get our lives reset, I know that your hope is not just for people to read a book or go to an event, but to have their lives changed. What does that practically look like?
What does it look like for them to have their lives reset?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I think it just begins with Jesus. I think it begins with turning to him. So I think there's a simple answer, and then there's a complex side of it, right? The simple answer is it begins with us turning our attention to Jesus and inviting him into whatever area of life we have that needs his presence, okay? And so if that's my self-image, if that's my purity, You know, if that can be 100 things, but it begins with a simple invitation. And then once that invitation begins, then it's a part of putting into practice now some disciplines and some frameworks in my life. And so Reset isn't about individuals battling things on their own. Reset is about inviting God to come in and then inviting community to come into that situation as well so that we tackle these things together.
Mm,
you know, good. So if I'm struggling with pornography or if I'm struggling with self-harm, if I'm struggling, like I'm going to bring that to the Lord, but then I'm also going to bring some brothers and sisters into my life. You know, a guy, I want to encourage guys to bring guys into their life. Unless you're married, bring your spouse into your life. You know, but girls, bring other girls into your life. And get, you know, we need to get over this thought that I need to battle these demons on my own or whatever it is, you know, but we just need to say, man, listen, you can't do this alone. God doesn't want you to do it alone. He wants to help you and he wants to bring other people into your life. And the thing that I realized is that is that when I open up about the struggles that I have, it gives others the freedom to open up about the struggles that they have. And so actually it literally is a galvanizing moment. And I think that's what the church is supposed to be about. This isn't a gathering of people who are pretending to be perfect and putting on plastic smiles. This is a gathering of people who more than anyone are willing to admit their imperfections, but we're gathering around the only perfect one. And so, listen, we need a reset. We all need it. That's the common ground. We meet at the foot of the cross. Jesus offers it, and together we go after Jesus, and we dive into his word, and we try to live for him.
So, Nick, this is my last thought. Someone may say, okay, you get a crowd together, but they need to plug into a church. They need to be part of community and grow, as you're saying. What do you say to someone who has a hard time imagining going to church or being involved?
So on July 16th, I mean, this is, you know, you can imagine a movement of millennial leaders planning and brainstorming for something for 3 years. So, I mean, we're really excited about the plan and the rollout, everything's going to happen. You know, there's an app that's going to be developed. There's tools that are developed. People are going to be able to text in. The goal of everything on that day, from that day, is to get people connected. So we want to get people, we want to rally prayer groups. We're trying to start 5,000 prayer groups from that day. We want to send them out across the nation. We want to get people connected to God's word. So we're using the Bible app. We're working with American Bible Society, working with One Hope. Again, so we're going to push a scripture engagement plan because we want people to connect. You know, we're going to give people a chance. If you don't have a church community, we're going to geotag and get people connected to churches near their home, near their school, near their neighborhood. So again, this is an all-out effort to really rally a generation to follow Jesus. You know, and if somebody feels comfortable right now and they just want to engage on social media, you know what? Then we're going to meet them there. But and then we're gonna try to take them the next step of the way. Because again, our goal in all of this is to land people into community, into a face-to-face encounter, into friendships that matter, and into a life on mission with Jesus.
Excellent. Nicole, thank you for this time. To the listeners, Google and find the book Reset. You'll find it available also in your bookstores. And if you can, possibly get up to the Washington, D.C. Mall for July 16th for this great gathering. You can also just Google Together 2016 and find all the details there. Nick, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.